Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you enjoy listening to Chorology, then I need your help. Here's why. I create Chorology by myself on a shoestring budget, recording and editing every episode in my tiny closet. How's that for irony? That's where you come in. Will you help keep Chorology on the air by supporting it financially? By tipping as little as $1 a month, you can help me improve and keep making Chorology every week. All you have to do is jump over to MatthiasRoberts.com/support to make a pledge and listen away.
Hey friends, this is Matthias Roberts, and you're listening to Queerology, a podcast on belief and being. This is episode 92.
When you're coming out of sexual shame, you know, the first thing that can be difficult to do is to move out of this overarching place of no to your feelings, no to your thoughts, no to even feeling sad, or feeling happy, or feeling anything.
Linda K. Klein has spent her career working at the cross-section of faith, gender, sexuality, and social change. She's the author of Pure, Inside the Evangelical Movement That Shamed a Generation of Young Women and How I Broke Free, a book that shares her 15-plus years of research on sexual shame, fear, anxiety, and PTSD-like experiences among individuals who were raised in purity culture. She's also the founder of Break Free Together, a nonprofit that uses story exchange to help people release sexual shame and claim their whole selves. Her work has been featured by media outlets like CBS News, The New York Times, The Chicago Tribune, Elle, Cosmopolitan, Good Housekeeping, Vice, and NPR programs like Fresh Air. She's a regular teacher and speaker and has been highlighted on the TEDx stage and at major gatherings such as 92Y's She Summit and the Apollo's Women of the World Festival. A Midwesterner at heart, Linda now lives in New York City with her family. And I'm so excited, y'all. This is a special episode. As you may have noticed, Queerology has been on hiatus for the last few months. It will continue to be on hiatus until March or so. But I wanted to share this with you because Linda and I sat down and recorded a masterclass together for the release of my new book, Beyond Shame, Creating a Healthy Sex Life on Your Own Terms, which is releasing next month on January 7th. And this masterclass, we're actually giving away to anyone who pre-orders the book, which I'm so excited about because it is full of practical tools that anyone can use to start working with their shame right away. In fact, it's called that. 4 practices you can start now to move beyond shame. But I wanted to share with you a clip from it, a pretty long clip from it for today's episode, because it's so good. And if it piques your interest, then go buy Beyond Shame and you'll get free access to the entire thing. The book is only, I think last time I checked, $16.99, this masterclass. It's worth well more than that. Linda's consulting rate, I don't actually know what it is, but I can guarantee you it's way more than $16.99, let alone mine. So it's a great deal, and it is only available to folks who pre-order. You have to pre-order the book in order to get it. After pre-orders are done, which means after January 7th, this masterclass isn't available anymore. So if you like what you hear, head over to any retailer, pre-order a copy of Beyond Shame, and then all you have to do to get the class is forward the receipt to beyondshamebook@gmail.com. We'll take a look at it really quick and send you the class right away. We're also giving away other bonus content, including artwork by Tori Blue, who's been on the show several times. She's Notes on the Way on Instagram. She actually took some quotes from the book, from Beyond Shame, and created some really, really beautiful artwork that will be part of the bonus package. You'll get the first chapter right away to start reading, so you don't have to wait till January 7th. And there's some other things in there as well. So go buy a copy, forward your receipt, beyondshamebook@gmail.com, and get your bonus package. And let's go ahead and dive in. here's a practice that you can start right now to move beyond shame with Linda K. Klein.
Yeah.
So you've kind of come up with four points, practices, exercises, things that we can do to kind of work with sexual shame that's come from purity culture. A lot of them work for just shame in general, but really practical ways that we can kind of work with these things. And I'd love to kind of dive into some of that.
Yeah. So these are exercises that I came up with on my own just based on my life experience and things like that. I don't expect that every single person will resonate with every single one of them, but it is something that I end up bringing up to people a lot, because this need for action is such a real thing for so many people. So the first exercise that I was thinking would be really interesting for people to start with is one that's not actually explicitly about sexuality, because, there's something I think that we need to do around creating an internal shift that is bigger than our sexuality, that allows for our sexuality to live into a space within us, that is more welcoming. So, so this is an exercise called Just Say Yes. there are different versions of this idea of say yes, but what I like about it is we really grew up, those of us who grew up in purity culture, really grew up with this idea of just say no when it comes to sexuality. I really learned say no to my sexual feelings, say no to my sexual thoughts, say no to my sexual desires. And the one thing that I will say as a caveat is it's interesting because, to a certain extent, I remember being raised say no to the desires of others, but I also learned that as a good woman, that I had to please men, including, doing whatever they wanted me to do, or allowing them to do whatever they wanted to do. So to the extent that the extent to which you were supposed to say no to others, I think was not as clear, but what was very clear was say no to yourself, right? And to your desire. So I designed an exercise for myself, and this was, 10 years ago or so, when I wanted to explore what it would feel like to say yes more often. And at this moment in my life, this actually wasn't a moment that was inspired by the sexuality journey, but actually by something a little bit different, but I think might be interesting to kind of share where it came out of for me. So the challenge that I gave myself, first of all, was to take a week. Now, other people could take a day or they could take a month, right? However long you want. But I took a week and I said yes to every opportunity that felt safe and good, right, that came my way. And this came out of a place, for those of you who read my book, that I went back and lived with my parents at the age of 30. Mm-hmm. Not highly recommended to do. But I wanted to write this book about evangelical Christianity and sexual shame. And, I didn't have any money, among other things. So I faced a ton of resistance from my community and from my family when I was at my parents' house. I just was in a really bad place in terms of their not wanting me to do that work. I also had no health insurance. I had no money. Here's something I didn't put in the book. I actually returned to the job that I'd had straight out of high school at the mall just to have enough money to keep writing when I was living at my parents' house. So I was living at my parents' house, and working at my high school job, right? I was in a bad place. And I was doing all of this because I felt deeply called to this work, right? So I knew that things had to change, and I knew I actually had to stop writing the book. but I remember thinking I had no idea what else I could do with my life, because this was the only thing that I had cared about for a really long time. I'd been saying no to other things so I could say yes to this work, to this book, right, to this call for years. And so I remember reaching this moment where I said, you know, in order for me to find joy again and to, I don't know, have a paycheck, I have to surface my yes again, right? And, you know, remember that I'm bigger than this, right? And step away from that place of fear and anxiety that was saying, no, I have to focus here, I have to focus here, I have to focus here, I have to focus here. Or, you know, this will never happen. I'll never, you know, do the thing I'm supposed to do. So I gave myself this week. I was going to say yes to every opportunity that came my way. I moved back to New York City. I was doing this in New York now. Things were already starting to change. I'd been saying yes by moving back to New York, by taking a job that had nothing to do with religion and sexuality. But then I gave myself this week. And I actually, I challenged some of my coworkers to do it with me. And they found it very difficult to do. Some of them did it for a day. But you know, as an example of one of the things that came up during that week, I remember I was sending a wedding present to a friend. And so I took it to the UPS store or whatever it was. And I bought one of their specialty boxes for the present, you know, to ship it in. So I was kind of packaging the package in front of the guy who worked there in their specialty box. And I put into the package the RSVP for the wedding. And I checked the no box, right? So I'm kind of doing this all in front of this guy. And he says, oh, so you're not going to this wedding? and I said, yeah, well, you know, she and I haven't seen each other in a really long time. And he said, well, you know, she's close enough to you that she invited you to her wedding, though. And I was like, okay, yeah, touche. And he's like, I really think that if someone invites you to their wedding, I think you should go. And I said, well, you know, I'm actually doing this thing this week where I say yes to every opportunity that comes up. So, and before I could even finish my sentence, he's like, and I think you should bring me.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I'm not sure if that constitutes safe. So I'm going to opt out of that one. But I went to the wedding and very last minute, you know. And I ended up having an amazing time at this wedding. And another thing that happened that week that was really great was I was walking back to my apartment and I heard live drumming at a couple of doors down from my apartment building. And I was like, oh, that's great. There's that art studio there that I've never been into. I wonder if they teach drumming classes. So, you know, while I'm walking on my phone, I Googled the art studio and I wrote the studio an email. And I said, you know, literally while I'm walking, and said, you know, do you teach drumming classes? If so, I've always wanted to take one, you know, because I took that as an invitation. That was part of my say yes. I heard the drums. I thought, oh, I've always wanted to take a drumming class. I'm going to count that as an invitation, right? So that's the kind of stuff that I was saying yes to, not just things that, you know, were presented to me in this obvious way where somebody says, I think you should go to this wedding, right? But it was more what I was trying to tap into was my own personal yes, right? So what happens when I hear an invitation like the sound of drums that brings up a curiosity? So I wrote them. The guy wrote me back and he said, no, actually, you know, I don't do that. But I spent a lot of time in Brazil. And so I have a bunch of Brazilian friends and I live above the studio. So I drum with them every week. You're welcome to come by and just join us sometime. My roommate said that also did not fit into the safety category. So she really convinced me not to do that. But what I did do was I went to the studio and I met him, and he was lovely. And he said, you know, we really do neighborhood arts, and so, you know, I would love for you to actually consider if you want to do something at the studio sometime. And which was really exciting to me. So I remember going back to work the next day and talking to my friend Didier Michel Sivan, and saying to him, you know, you're a musician. I have been doing these interviews with people raised in the evangelical church for years. What if you and I created a soundscape and we presented it at this studio, right? And he loved the idea. We talked about it for a while. It never ended up happening. But, you know, it was exciting, you know? And in time, I just found that I became more and more able to say yes to other parts of myself, you know, and other things that were possible for me. And joy really did come back. And that joy coming back was what eventually allowed me to go back to the writing again after years of stepping away from it. And interestingly, in fact, a couple of months ago, so this is like, you know, 10 years after the Say Yes experience, my friend Didier and I created the soundscape.
Yes.
It's on my website. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes the seeds that you plant when you say yes might not take a, you know, they might grow a decade later, right?
Right. That's amazing.
I know, I love it, right? It's such a great example. But, you know, so these things aren't about sexuality, right? These things are, you know, not, I didn't say yes to anything sexual in that week. Mm-hmm. though the UPS man, I'm sure, was disappointed by that. but I really like that this exercise, the reason I presented it first is because I feel like when you're coming out of sexual shame, you know, the first thing that can be difficult to do is to move out of this overarching place of no to your feelings, you know, no to your thoughts. I mean, when we're coming out of these places, you know, often many of us struggle with no to even feeling sad or feeling happy or feeling anything, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you just explore what it feels like to move out of an overarching space of no to self and into an overarching space of yes to self by doing little exercises that can kind of push you in a way that you feel safe and comfortable. Like, I tell those stories in part to illustrate that I didn't go to that guy's house to do the drumming in his apartment, right? Like, I didn't have to say yes to things that didn't feel safe or that didn't feel good to me. The rules were created by me for me, you know, and so I said yes to things that I knew were really for me and felt good. And that was a really important exercise for me at that moment in my life.
I mean, that makes me think of me in chapter 9 of my book, which is titled Sex Requires Safety and Safety is Not Guaranteed, talking about the importance of establishing safety, trust with ourselves first, and then going on to talking about what safety looks like within relationship. But that sense of we have to be able to trust ourselves in order to really be able to work with our shame. And I feel like what you're talking about here is like a prime example of that sense of little steps to kind of to reintroduce yourself to yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To say to yourself, I can trust you. And these things that may sound a little bit scary, like saying yes can be such a scary thing. Like, I can trust myself to say yes, to say no when I need to, and really work on establishing that kind of quote unquote trust floor within your own self.
That's right. Yeah, that's so well framed. That is really what it's about. It's about because I think sometimes it's hard to say yes to self if you don't trust self. And you know, and the reality is that, you know, you're making me think back to something that I mentioned earlier, which is the fact that though I'd been taught to say no to self, that I wasn't taught to say no to others. And, you know, that created some unsafe situations. And so there is something about developing the trust and the yes with the self that even allows you to say, I can be in a situation and navigate boundaries, you know, because my gut is something I'm going to listen to this time, even if it's not something I listened to last time, because I overrode it with my, you know, teaching about, you know, how even if I feel uncomfortable, I shouldn't leave because that's going to be, you know, seen as like it would hurt their feelings or something like that. Whatever it is. So you're right. It's about saying yes to self in a way that I think develops trust with self and that to a certain extent says, you know, I'm going to, you know, it's a commitment to trust self, right? Mm-hmm. To say, I'm going to trust myself on this one, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust myself that I know when the yes is going to be dangerous, and I'm going to trust that too. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know when the yes is just going to feel bad, and I'm going to trust that.
Right.
And I know when the yes is going to feel good, right? Like if you, like, I don't know, imagine that you're scrolling through your Facebook event invites, you know, the one that sounds awful is not the one the universe is inviting you to. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, that's not one you got to say yes to, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the one that you're like, ooh, that sounds super fun, but oh God, I don't know anyone there, you know, right. That's the one. You know,
right? It's making me think of, I feel like I can hardly talk about anything without talking about Brené Brown. she talks about like the sense of writing yourself permission slips. You're giving yourself permission to say yes.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful, important thing.
Yeah.
So say yes to every opportunity for a day or for a week or
however long. Yeah. Every opportunity that your soul hears and says yes to. All right, you want a second one?
Yes, I love this.
All right.
And that's it for today. If you want to keep listening, all you have to do is pre-order a copy of Beyond Shame from any retailer and forward your receipts to beyondshamebook@gmail.com. All the details and more about the book can be found at beyondshamebook.com. Queerology is on Twitter and Instagram @QueerologyPod, or you can tweet me directly @MatthiasRoberts. Queerology is produced with support from its listeners. To find out how you can help keep Queerology on the air, head over to MatthiasRoberts.com/support. A really easy way is by leaving ratings and reviews. Do that right in your podcast app, or head to MatthiasRoberts.com/review, and I'll take you right there. As always, I'd love to hear from you. If you have ideas of what you want to hear on the show when we come back from hiatus, or just want to say hi, reach out. I'll get back to you. And until next time, y'all, bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.